Barger, president of Capstone Marketing. I am delighted to be talking today with Eric Mizhak, shareholder and chief marketing officer for Beach Fleischman PC, one of Arizona's largest locally owned CPA firms and a top 200 CPA firm in the United States. At the recent Association for Accounting Marketing Summit, Eric was named the 2015 Marketer of the Year, an award sponsored by Inside Public Accounting. After spending 9 years as the Director of Marketing for Freed Maxick CPAs in Buffalo, New York, Eric and his wife moved their family to Tucson, Arizona for his role at Beach Fleischman. He is responsible for the overall development of firm marketing and growth strategies. Eric also has responsibility to market Pinnacle Plan Design, a subsidiary practice of the firm. His responsibilities include institutional firm branding, innovation, service line development, firm growth initiatives, and niche marketing. Eric also oversees the strategic marketing direction of the firm's vertical industry practices, including healthcare, real estate, construction, manufacturing, high tech, not-for-profit, and hospitality. Eric was named Ames Rookie of the Year in 2006. He has been named one of Accounting Today's 100 Most Influential People twice. Eric and his teams have won multiple AMA Awards. I could go on and on. Eric is a contributing blogger to Intuit's Accountants New Central blog. He's a past AIM board member and an accounting industry influencer. Check out his profile on LinkedIn for more. Congratulations, Eric, and welcome to the Capstone Conversation.
Thanks, Jean. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And wow, what an introduction.
You've been busy over all these years.
I have. It seems like a lifetime, but it's only been, I think, 12 years or 11 years or something like that. So, but boy, it goes by fast.
It does go by fast. And this is a success story because you're someone who came to the accounting industry from, would media be the right term? I know you worked in sales, am I right?
For print and radio? Part of my background was in broadcast radio sales, so in various forms, either an account executive or business development person to a sales manager. So that kind of gave me the kind of knowledge of media in general, because when you sell radio, you're also trained to understand different forms of media. And so I did that for about 8 or 9 years, and then I also had some experience at a large bank, which kind of got me into the accounting profession. I think I found that fairly interesting to market financial type services, banking, just because it was such a different thing. It was more complex and fulfilling, I think, from a strategy point of view. I liked being able to sell those types of services and creating marketing plans for those institutions, because it's something that is kind of done over time, that, it's not immediate, but you plant the seeds and then, you reap the rewards down the road.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's very similar to accounting.
Right. Well, I mean, we're happy that you were new to the profession and you've decided to stick around.
I have, yes. I'm committed to sticking around.
Excellent. So using that experience, these 10, 12 years, what do you think is the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms?
Oh, I think at the highest level, probably that continued push to innovate our firms. And so, I mean, that might be the introduction of new services or product offerings. I really firmly believe that firms have to innovate in order to be relevant, can't be stagnant. And I think it's our responsibility as marketers to kind of get our firms out of that commodity realm, which a lot of firms fall into, and really guide growth into other areas that bring value to clients beyond, traditional compliance type services. So, mm-hmm. It's hard to do because there's a question of being, as a marketer, proactive versus reactive. We get pulled in 1,000 different directions. And oftentimes we we don't have time to be proactive. And in order to innovate, if we're going to lead that whole effort, we have to be proactive. And, you know, I'm sure you have clients, or you know, just from being a marketer in your career, we just get bombarded with messages every day internally. We attend lots of meetings. We have hundreds of emails we have to answer and voicemails. And it can be hard to carve that time to be proactive and strategic.
Mm-hmm. So how do you handle that? How do you carve out that time?
Oh, boy. I mean, that's a tough question. I do try to build it into my day. So I have, for example, Thursdays I block off my calendar. And I do, that is kind of my day to do my strategic kind of thinking. And I try to avoid appointments and meetings on those days if at all possible. But I build that into my calendar as a recurring kind of thing. So that's one thing that I do that maybe some of your listeners could consider, is just literally putting it into your calendar and carving that time aside.
Right. Because if you don't put it down in your calendar, it's not going to happen. Because as you said, we always have a million things to do. It's finding the time to prioritize and make sure that you're working on the highest priority items.
If you don't set time aside for it, it'll never get done, because you can always be doing something else. Do you know what I mean? And the voicemails won't stop. The emails won't stop coming in. But you do have to just kind of suspend those things and focus on that. And that's not only for the benefit of you know, us as marketing practitioners, but for the firm too, because it forces us to kind of look out into the future and see what's coming around the curve and plan and do that. And that's very important for success.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, my capstone conversation with Lexi McWiggins last year, she was the rookie of the year, and she told me that every Monday morning is her time for continuing education. So whether it was a webinar recording or research that she would do or whatever it was, Monday mornings was her time to do that. So that sounds like your Thursdays.
Definitely. Maybe there's a trend there, right? I mean, for those marketers that can be successful or that have been, they probably have habits that promote that kind of behavior of putting some time aside for themselves or for learning or education, or maybe for obtaining a certain kind of skill or
something like that. So, Eric, what do you think is the biggest change you've noticed in accounting marketing over the past 5 years?
Oh, I think one of the things might be the major focus of importance on content marketing, using the web and different digital tools to syndicate content. So that could be either marketing automation or syndicating content through social media channels, or the running of a blog or launching of a blog at your firm, and that whole machine that gets ramped up, and marketers have to sustain that for the long haul. And I see a lot of firms doing that, you know, getting their practitioners, their client service folks to contribute content towards their blog, or maybe they're doing webinars or writing articles. So that kind of focus, it's everywhere in the industry, and you've seen a whole new category of even consultants that have really focused on this, where maybe, you know, more than 5 years ago, you know, 5 to 8 years ago, you never did see that. But now there are boutique firms that are just focusing and helping firms develop content marketing strategies.
Right. Do you see any change for that in the future, or do you just see that the whole content inbound strategy expanding?
Oh, I see it expanding. And I think for the most part, firms are really working channels for distribution of their content, but I think it's going to become more kind of omnipresent. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have to find ways to integrate content across platforms, because that's the expectation of people and customers and clients, that, you know, if they start a conversation in one channel, it's kind of accepted that, you know, if they flip, if they go to a different channel, they can continue that conversation. Or if they call an 800 number, they can, you know, continue the conversation there or on the website via a form or maybe through a social media channel or on your blog. So I think it used to be where firms would kind of customize content per the channel. I think it's kind of becoming more integrated now.
Mm-hmm.
Because people have real-time kind of access to these channels. And I mean, think about it. When you call your cable company, you might call an 800 number. You might do a live chat over their website. And you kind of hope that on the other end that they have record of your account, of your past history, of your products that you've purchased, of maybe your customer service issues. And I think the same is going to be true with accounting. No matter what channel our customers use, they're going to have the expectation that we have kind of a recorded history of their activities with us, or maybe it's
right.
a conversation or something like that. And that's going to be very hard for us to kind of wrap our hands around.
Right. Because no matter what channel they're using, they're expecting somebody to be able to help them or answer their questions.
Exactly.
Or direct them
right.
to the right person or whatever their need is.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's why I think a lot of these new platforms are really, I mean, nothing is the silver bullet, right? But a lot of the newer platforms will integrate with other internal platforms. They integrate with social media. They integrate with, you know, your maybe your marketing database or your CRM or Outlook or something like that. So it's, I mean, I think there are efforts being made with technology to kind of solve this issue.
Right.
But it's still young, I think, for the accounting profession anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you give us an example of one of these, what you're calling a newer platform?
Well, I mean, some of them have been around for a while, but I think they keep getting enhanced as the years go on. So it could be Marketo. It could be a HubSpot. It could be a CRM offering like a Sage or something like that, but that has other kind of functionality bolted onto it for content
right.
marketing or, you know. So I think some of the platforms have been around, but they're becoming enhanced, able to integrate with other things.
Right, and if one of these vendors would answer the question of integrating with a firm's time and billing, that has been an issue for as long as I've been in this profession, and we both know that's a long time.
Right,
And I don't know why they don't focus more on it.
I think those platforms tend to be easier to use in industries where there are call centers set up. So let's say, you know, there's a heavy kind of, traffic flow of people calling an 800 number, or they have customer service issues, and you have somebody on the other end who you're talking to, where they're kind of documenting kind of your service issues, and not so much so on the professional services side of things, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because our customer service people are our accountants, and, you know, we're not necessarily documenting, you know, history of the relationship in some multi-integrated platform that's going to enable you to syndicate content, that's going to track their social media activities, that's going to integrate with time and billing and all that. So I think it's still a work in process.
Right. It absolutely is. But it's exciting and challenging at the same time because there are all these options and so much technology to consider that, you know, the way we market is so different, as you said, even just from 5 years ago. Exciting to
Right. And marketers, you know, we have this issue now where we have siloed information with different platforms, and, you know, what you might have in your CRM might be different from what you have with your social analytics platform, which might be different than what you have in your marketing automation platform, which might be different than what you have in your time and billing, and it can go on and on and on. But I think, you know, there's a good opportunity for a platform to be developed that can kind of integrate multiple platforms.
Right.
Or channels at once.
Right, absolutely. So any other predictions for accounting marketing, let's say for the next 5 years? What do you see?
Well, I still think, specialization in terms of our duties and skill sets in marketing, especially in the area of web and digital, it's changing so fast that it's really hard to have one person to be able to stay on top of that. I think you're going to see a lot of outsourcing in that area, quite frankly, where firms might just engage a digital agency to do a lot of this on their behalf. Or the firms that do have the resources to kind of bring that capability in-house, you're going to see continued specialization. So, I can give you an example. On our team here at Beach Fleischman, we have a WordPress developer. And, he is adept at not only building and maintaining websites, but also building microsites. And, we're going to get into the area of apps and other web applications. But, that's something that we don't need to outsource because we have that ability and skill set in-house. And that makes sense for a firm like ours because we have a heavy digital kind of presence, and it's part of kind of our marketing philosophy, heavy on the digital side of things. So it does make sense to bring that capability in-house. And we use content marketing on a regular basis as a tool to generate leads. So it didn't really make sense for us to outsource that.
Right.
But rather to bring that in-house because it's something that we're doing day after day after day.
Right, right. And that just adds to the conversation for firms when they're considering hiring marketers or building a marketing team, the different skills they do need to consider based upon what they want to implement in their marketing plan or their marketing strategy. And now we've got all these digital types, and social media types that need to be considered based upon what the firm wants to do.
Exactly. So that's one, I think, prediction that we're already seeing. I think the other might be just in general, firms taking a serious look at their business models and continuing to move away from hourly billing. And so that's going to have an enormous impact on marketers. And whatever business models are developed, whether it's value pricing or any kind of pricing in advance, that's going to be used as a differentiator for firms. And so I do see that as, that whole trend is continuing. And if you read any of the national trades, you can see that.
Right. Right. So to get it, and that goes back to a point you were making before about the commodities and,
exactly.
Helping the firm tell a different story, based upon what they're doing, that it's not just, you're billing an hour to do an audit, that you're contributing more, to a business or to a client.
Exactly. We're knowledge professionals, knowledge workers, and the hourly kind of model doesn't really play into that, does it?
It
kind of commoditizes what we do, and the truth is that clients perceive value in different ways, and we need to be prepared to react to that. And I think a lot of firms are just refusing to face that reality, and will continue down the path of hourly billing. So,
right.
I think we're looking at different things, even at our firm, just different models for pricing. And I know a lot of firms, especially the smaller ones, I think have already embraced this. The smaller shops where there might be, 5 or 10 or 15 people, where they're able to do this fairly easily compared to with larger firms that have to kind of move in that direction. It's kind of like moving an ocean liner.
Right. Right.
It's going to take a long time.
Right. Isn't that connected to the idea of being business advisors and being able to look at the whole picture of a client and being able to provide that advice or their services to deal with that challenge or that issue, and not of the mindset that, I have 24 hours to conduct this compliance-related project, and then I'm done.
Right. I think the kind of model really focuses on efficiency, where if you're going to be a trusted or an advisor, I think your interest is innovation and innovation is not efficient. So you can see there's a conflict there.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
right.
You know, I think firms need to take a look at that to mm-hmm. figure out ways to price where that kind of proactive advice and consultation is included in your offering mm-hmm. and not discouraged.
Right. So Eric, what factors or skills do you think enable accounting marketers to be successful?
I always think this revolves around the human aspects of what we do. So communication skills, credibility, the ability to sell ideas and motivate and influence others. I always think that's the number one thing. I think it's about 75% of what we do. You can have the most technically brilliant marketer, but if they don't have those people skills, their career is going to be short-lived in our industry. So I really do think it is about building kind of those relationships one-on-one and then using the trust that you've built to motivate and influence others to maybe look at a different point of view or a different way of doing things. And that cannot be done unless you have those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Right, because we work in an industry where a lot of people are used to doing things the way they've always done them. And we mm-hmm. need to open them up to other opportunities or ways of looking at things.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think, too, marketers need to be able to kind of put themselves in the shoes of the accountants and understand the stresses and the different stresses or issues that they're facing, what motivates them. And so you have to be able to kind of look at their point of view when you are selling an idea or you're trying to influence a group of folks to maybe conduct an activity. You kind of have to understand the pressures that they're under. Otherwise, you might be, you know, accused of having a tin ear.
Mm-hmm.
And so really kind of understanding their day-to-day of what they have to go through is also something that I recommend for marketers.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, understanding how a firm works, you know, how they make money, deadlines.
Money,
right.
The deadlines, you know. Hey, before you ask a group of folks to do something, you might want to make sure it's not, you know, the week before the 15th deadline or
right.
kind of understanding that aspect of what we do.
Mm-hmm. So which of your personal skills has contributed most to your success?
Personal? I think I have a strong sense of intuition. In some ways, I do have a strong gut sense of what's going to work and what's not going to. And the ability to influence others. I've had some good success being able to, let's say, propose an idea or an approach and get folks internally to buy off on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that might involve, you know, getting them involved in the process. Or soliciting their ideas. And so that's been a big contributor to my success. I think on the technical skill side of things, it's been at least in the philosophy that I believe in and I've gotten my teams to work on is the ability to monetize our initiatives, especially as it relates to the web and digital, being able to monetize our web efforts, web marketing efforts. So that would include content marketing, social media, and SEO. Really being able to harness the power of that for a business purpose. And there are multiple business purposes for that, but primarily for generating opportunity for the firm.
Right. And then that helps the firm's partners understand what marketing does and that you're just not an expense, but, you know, you're helping them generate revenue and leads for new business.
Exactly. And so, I mean, and there's just endless boundless opportunity on the web to do that and to expand your geographic footprint and your brand presence through the web using some of these different platforms. And I've had some luck. I've worked with some real talented internal teams to be able to harness the power of that and you know, monetize it and prove it and document it. And that helps others at the firm, too, to develop their careers. And so it's been kind of a win-win for everybody.
Right, right. How can marketers gain more power within their firms?
Power, yeah, I might, or influence, right? Mm-hmm. I think developing initiatives at work is always helpful.
Right.
So, you know, being able to kind of document that a marketing initiative that your team or you have created have had an impact in some way and what that looks like. I also think initiatives that clients love are always a good thing. Initiatives that bring value to clients or that result in substantial ROI for the firm. But you can tell, you know, by running certain marketing initiatives, sometimes you hit it out of the park, and those are the times when clients are really raving about something you've done, some initiative where they're involved. And those are the things I think that internally can bring you credibility. Is there's nothing more powerful than a client going to saying something to a partner at a firm, hey, I really like what you guys have done here, or we participated in this program and boy, we're going to do it again next year and we love it. They love hearing that stuff, and that brings you credibility within your firm.
Mm-hmm. Right. That question was generated from a conversation I had with a managing partner who I've known for many, many years. So I've added that to the list, you know, for this year's interviews, because I am interested, because it was his thought that marketers have not gained enough power within their firms. So I'm going to spend some time exploring that. But you're right. I mean, being able to demonstrate what you're contributing does lead to that power or influence within a firm.
Yeah. And I also think getting involved in other operational areas of the firm beyond marketing, but marketing can have an influence on other things that firms do, like recruiting, for example,
mm-hmm.
or training, or education. So I try to be involved in other areas of the firm, because number one, I think I can contribute towards those areas, but number two, I think marketing has a place in some of these other areas. And also, I've told this to other marketers, but we shouldn't surrender the P's of marketing to the four P's of marketing. And so I think marketers have a duty to get involved in things like pricing or distribution channels, placement of our services and geographies. So M&A opportunities or merging with other firms or getting into new markets, opening up new offices. Sometimes marketing teams tend to surrender that responsibility to the firm's operational side of things or maybe the partners. But I do think we have a seat at the table and can contribute towards that in some way. And so I think that's important as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, Eric, what's the best piece of advice you have for accounting marketers?
I do think, again, it comes back to the relationship thing and building the trust and credibility. You have to be able to do that. So building relationships one-on-one within your firm, and really focusing on that. And, without it, I just think accounting marketers, their careers will be short-lived if they haven't invested the time to show folks internally that they care about them, about their careers. I just think it's so important to be able to, build those relationships. And that's always been my advice, is to get to know the people that you work with,
mm-hmm.
and kind of understand kind of where they're coming
from. Right. So then what is your best piece of advice for managing partners?
I always think tone from the top is important when it comes to managing partners, and they need to inspire through leadership, and of course, successful ones do that very, very well. And, recognizing where the industry is going and how fundamentally different the profession is going to look like in, 5, 10, 20 years, because preparation for that has to happen now. So I think the focus for managing partners needs to be on the future. I just think that's so important.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's good for the profession. It's good for the firm, especially as that relates to succession and other challenges that we face in the industry. And succession
right.
is such a huge challenge right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if a managing partner is not looking forward or looking out, you know, 5, 10, 15 years, firms are going to be in a lot of trouble. So I think the firms that are successful, the managing partners, such as mine, Bruce Beach, is very forward-looking when it comes to these types of things.
Right.
And
right. You're absolutely right, because we not only read about it, but we talk with people within firms, you know, who are struggling with succession and what they're going to do, you know, 5 or 10 years from now. So that's it's a critical point, that the leadership needs to have that vision and start the implementation for their own firm so that they do survive. Because many firms
exactly.
that I talk to, I mean, even with this, you know, merger mania, you know, firms that I talk to, you know, some of them do want to merge, but every firm wants to be the dominant firm. Nobody wants to be the firm that gets acquired and
right.
loses the leadership function. You know, they all want to be the dominant firm. Not every firm can be the dominant firm. So it's going to be the ones that are planning and thinking ahead that are going to wind up, you know, in charge, if you will, and leading a bigger, smarter firm.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You're right on.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, we've been talking today with Eric Myshak, shareholder and chief marketing officer for Beach Fleischmann PC and the 2015 Marketer of the Year. Eric, congratulations again. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Jean.